Psalm 116. The psalmist says, I love the Lord, because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and He helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, truly I am Thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Amen. May the Lord add His own blessing to the reading of His Word for His name's sake. This evening I want us to consider one verse only and the invitation that is contained there. And that is verse number 7, where we are bidden, return unto thy rest, O my soul. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Before we consider this portion of Scripture, let's turn our hearts to the Lord in prayer. Let's all seek His face together. Our Father and our God, again we bless Thee that the testimony of the psalmist is our testimony. That indeed when we were those who were filled with sorrow, when we called upon the Lord, Thou didst have mercy, and Thou hast delivered our souls. Lord, we're thankful this night for the salvation that is ours through the work of the Son of God. And Lord, we pray tonight that as we consider this part of Thy Word, that Thou will allow the Spirit of God to be that one who does speak through the Word to our hearts. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt draw us out of ourselves tonight, that Thou wilt draw us unto Thy throne, and that by faith we will lay hold on these things that Thou dost hold forth for us in the Word. Lord, to this end I pray that Thou wilt help Thy people. Help them to hear Thy voice. Help them as Thy sheep to follow after Thee. Help them to find in Christ that which truly is their soul's rest. Help me, I pray, as thy servant, I ask for the leading of the Holy Ghost. And I ask that thou wilt allow there to be for all the covering of the blood, that we would be a people who have hearts made ready to receive the blessing of the Lord. And this we pray in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen. this evening as we begin our consideration of this text. I say it will be well for us to think for a moment on the truth that every word of Scripture is given by God Himself. Everything that we have before us in the Word of God is ordered of the Lord. It is spoken, as it were, by the mouth of our God. It is, in fact, the very Word of God. I want us to think on that for a second. And I say, if we were not certain of that, we might take our text tonight, which is the 7th verse, as an invitation given by men amongst themselves to do a great and necessary work, that is, to return unto the rest, to return to this one who has delivered. But we would be left, I say, with a hollow hope, for we might think that even if we were to return to our rest, we might be striving to do so in our own strength only. That here's a bidding, let us arise and go. Well, there might be some shortcoming in us. But consider, if we in truth see that the words of our text are the call and sweet invitation by the Holy Spirit Himself, then we have every hope that what we are bidden of by our God will prove to be that wonderful blessing of peace and restoration that we have here set forth in the Word of God. Here, I say, is a promise. Here, I say, is an invitation of the Lord. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. Though it's not couched in words that would sound like a direction from God to the believer, yet it is through the Holy Spirit. Perhaps we might even say we are in union with the one who is the Word. And so when it says, return unto thy rest, O my soul, it is a word that is spoken as we are in union with the one who would bid us to come to that rest. I say, let us not be confused tonight. The rest spoken of here in this text is not an invitation to a place that we find ourselves free from all hardship and toil. That's not what the Lord sets forth here as rest. In fact, we know of a certainty that we shall not know that sort of rest until we all sit at the Savior's feet. That sort of rest will only be in existence when it comes time for the Lord to wipe away all tears, for us to see the face of Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. Then we shall, as the hymn writer says, lay our burdens down. The rest spoken of in this place, I say, is the rest where the child of God can utterly roll his whole soul on to that source of peace and calm that comes with knowing, as we thought on this morning, peace with God. I can have a rest for my soul. And that rest is connected with that which allows me to know the peace of God. And I say we may add to the invitation a note. And that note is, there is nothing said here of the frequency or the number of times in which a saint may return to this place of comfort. Perhaps we'll just leave it this way. Here is a word that applies to you as often as you feel a need of it. There is no limitation. There is no boundary. There is no restriction. There is no qualification as far as when you may come. It is just simply, return unto thy rest, O my soul. So I say tonight, if you have a heart that says, I wish I could come to my rest, then here's a word of the Lord for you Return to your rest. Return to your rest. My proposition, I say, may not be as direct, perhaps, as I would make it, because if I did make it direct, then I would have two of my points gone in my message. So I will just cloak it slightly. I propose tonight that the coming to your rest is meant of God to be that great comfort that fills all your longing and every need in the heart of every saint. This comfort, this rest, this place to which we are bidden to come is a place where you will find every need met. You will find every fear allayed. You will find every anxiety removed. Here is the place of rest. My points, and I have four, are very simple. And again, I propose usually on the evenings after we have our Reformation sermon to try to make it up to you time-wise, because I usually end up getting more lengthy than I should. In the morning, I propose to be brief. I have four things I just want you to see about this text. Number one, very simply, this text says to us, there is a rest for the believer. What sense would this verse make if there was no rest for my soul? What application could I possibly make if there was not, in reality, for me the possibility of coming to a place where I can find true rest for my soul? Now I say, it might be appropriate for us to go through a listing of all the blessings, all the benefits, even the things that are mentioned here in this psalm, to go through and make a categoric list of all the promises of God, which we would say would prove to be restful to our spirits. There are things, truly, that when you ponder them, you say, now, oh, that was a sweet thought. That's a sweet promise. There, indeed, is a place to dwell for a moment and find the cool water. And I say such a list would be as long and as applicable as there are needs that we find in our lives. And it is true that the varied graces of God that we find put before us in the Scriptures are wonderful and must be seen as accomplishing the mind and will of God. God gives His graces for a purpose. And as perhaps we would have noted in our Sunday school time, when the Lord gives a grace, that grace always does what God means for it to do. His work, His grace, is efficacious. It accomplishes His end. But I say, these graces, the promises, the things that we would say, here are lists of things that we would find that would be refreshing to our souls. I want you to understand that all graces are but an extension of what is the true source of rest. These proceed from the source as waters do from a spring. And so I simply say, when the Scripture says, return unto thy rest, O my soul, here is an instruction or an invitation for us to do but one thing, and that is for us to find our way back to the feet of the Lord Himself. Return to thy rest is a return to Christ. Was it not the Lord Himself who stood before the multitude and said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That was not a word that was given to say, I will give you ways in which you may find rest. I will give you rest. You come to me. You find that I, in my person, am the source of your soul's rest. You come to me, you come to my feet. I will give you the rest that you need. And I say, here is a sweet truth. You may come to the feet of Christ and find a rest for your soul as often as you wish, if you come in truth. And I say, here's a bidding for you to do so. Will I be welcome? Well, why would the Lord say for you to return to His feet if you weren't going to be welcome? Will I be received? Same argument. How will I know that He will truly allow me to find the rest? I don't particularly deserve it. Because He said. You know, when the Lord says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, with what could you possibly be heavy laden? I am heavy laden with my nobility. I am heavily laden with all those things that commend me to God. How preposterous and ridiculous is that? But that's how we tend to think of it. Oh, I will come to the Lord bearing all these merits and the Lord will receive me. I will come and show Him all these mighty things that I have done and He will receive me. The Lord said, no, you're heavy laden. You are burdened down. You are born under the crushing weight of something. Now, what could that possibly be? Your unworthiness. Your carnal spirit. Your selfish pride. Your fearful unbelief. Your worldly sinfulness. All of these things we all labor for them. But He says, you bring those to Me and I will give you rest. My second point. The fact that we are told to return unto our rest would simply indicate to us that sometimes the believer leaves his rest. You can't return to something that you didn't leave. And again, we could commence a listing of all the reasons that a believer will find that his soul has left the place of rest. That place where the Lord is. Perhaps we could recount affliction. We could say affliction causes a man to leave the place of rest. Hard times and hard sorrows can turn a man inward upon himself. Man gets all consumed with himself, gets consumed with the things that he is bearing, consumed with the toil that he's having to undertake, consumed with the pain of his own sorrow, and bitterness swells itself up. Yes, oftentimes affliction causes men to leave the place of rest. Sometimes a want of submitting to the will of God in the favor of the will of self can make a man suffer for his rebellion. I'd rather have what I want. Well, then know that you're not going to be at rest. Oh, I know what's good for me. I know what'll make me feel filled up inside. Well, then convinced of this. You'll never find rest. You'll be that man, as James says, that the unstable man, or the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And the unstable man is double-minded in all his ways. Take whichever way you want to. I was about to put it that way. You fill yourself up with your own desires and you'll find that there's no rest. A lack of contentment and striving after what the Lord has withheld brings turmoil of mind and heart. How many of us have gone down that road? Lord, I can't be happy because I haven't had this or that. I should have had this or that. I deserved this or that. But you withheld it. And now I don't know that I can be happy. Oh, what foolish thinking. Well, conscious sin and a desire for the ways of the world also brings much sorrow. We could go on and on and on and on with our list. And the knowledge of what I speak of, I say, is well known to all of us. You, I can guarantee, know what I'm talking about tonight. You are, if you have been in the Lord for any period of time at all, one who could probably say, you know what, my soul has known exactly what you're talking about. I've known those hours, those days, those weeks, those long terms where my soul has not been at rest. I've gone through those valleys. I've been one who would have to say, yes, unbelief was my daily bread. And we know well what it is to suffer those times when we are aware that our hearts are not at rest. And I say, there is only one reason for an uneasy and an unstable heart. You need to come back to the feet of Christ. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. Some believers leave. All believers leave sometimes. Third point. The believer has a way back to his rest. The Scripture says return. The fact that it says return would indicate that there is a way back. And that way back is known. Well, what is that way back? Well, I would say it's suggested by the words of in the last half of that verse. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. The Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. When did the Lord deal bountifully with you? Let me put it to you squarely. There was no time that the Lord dealt more bountifully with you than the day that He took your sins on Himself. The day that He lifted from you the burden and the weight of your guilt and laid it upon His own heart and bore it to Calvary. The Lord has dealt bountifully with you over and again in that He has been long-suffering with you through the days of your unbelief. I say the Lord has dealt bountifully with you through the work of Jesus Christ putting away your sin and bringing you into the life of the Lord. He has dealt bountifully. And I simply say that the way back to rest is for the people of God to go back to that place where they were dealt bountifully with and look hard and long. You know, there was sort of interesting this evening. We have Pilgrim's Progress playing on CD in our house so often. I found it almost unbelievable that I couldn't remember the answer to this question. I went upstairs this evening and I said, do you remember when Christian came to the house where the porter was and they had the daughters were there? What was the name of the man whose house that was? And, you know, it really doesn't say. It says that it was Palace Beautiful, and it says that there were three sisters that lived there, and it gives their names, and one comes forward and talks with Christian, and the porter says, if she likes your speech and she likes what you say, you'll be invited in. Well, Christian speaks of his having been at the cross and his being on the way to the celestial city, and that he had a scroll that he held in his bosom, and that he was on his way to do his master's will. And of course he was allowed to get in. And he had conversation with those sisters there at supper. And they talked of the Master. They talked of the Master's work. And it says then that after that was over, that they all retired and Christian was able to lie down and sleep well and was well refreshed. Bunyan is but making a point there that it is the conversation about how the Master has dealt bountifully, how the Lord has dealt with us in mercy for our sins, how the Lord has covered us and washed us by His blood, how the Lord has made us to be one with Himself, and He will most certainly bring us on to that place that He has prepared for us. All of these things, I say, are refreshing things. For they are about Christ Himself. The way to rest, child of God, is for you to consider Jesus Christ again in your soul, to come to Christ, and then to actually come and present yourself before His feet. Well, my last thought, and with this we're done. Given the text that we have, and the invitation that we have a last point. If there is a believer who is not at his rest, here's the point. The believer should return at once. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. Now there's an imperative. But there's an invitation. And I say this would seem to be a point not needing to be spoken. But you know, there's such a hesitance in us in doing the very simplest of things, the most basic of things. We consider the fact that we have left our rest, and that consideration that we have left our rest in itself becomes a hindrance to us to return to our rest. We are to return at once. Why? Why should we return to Christ right away? Well, quite frankly, because you will find no rest elsewhere. Oh, surely that's not true. Surely my soul can be satisfied with things that I am able to experience or do or learn, things that I can enter into as far as way of service or things that I would do in an outward sense. See, certainly these things satisfy. No, they don't. Do you understand? And maybe some of you can even testify to this. You understand that your service for Christ will not satisfy your soul. Oh, how that sounds to be complete error in the ears of so many. Your service to Christ will not satisfy. Your winning souls to Christ through the opportunities that the Lord gives you will not satisfy you. Only Jesus Christ will satisfy you. These things that He allows us to do, if they are done as we are walking with Him, will prove to be a joyous thing. But they in and of themselves will not replace the Lord Himself. Oh, there is no rest. Perhaps somebody should write a song. Oh, I think somebody has. Now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. None but the person Himself. I would also say why you should return at once is simply this. You are in a position, if you are not returning, or if you're not going to return, you are in a position where all is out of order if you don't. You know, you are now, if you belong to Christ, made to be different. Your heart will not function right without Christ. All is out of kilter. All is upside down. All is topsy-turvy in your soul, in your heart, in your mind, in your thinking, in your ways, in your life, if you're not close to Christ. You, quite frankly, are made for Christ. I say here is a very simple word. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. Why do we hesitate? Why do we not run at once? Oh, is it because of our unbelief? Is it because we're filled with the things that we would have for this world? Oh, may the Lord deliver. May the Lord deliver. You can find rest. You have a rest. It's in the Son of God Himself. May the Lord be pleased to bless His word tonight for His name's sake. Let's just bow in prayer. Our Father and our God, again, we thank Thee for Thy word. Lord, it is our prayer that Thou wilt allow this word to be food for our soul. We pray that it will be an encouragement to us to quickly run to the feet of Christ, to be those who dwell in that place, to be those that believe His words, that He will give us rest when we come, even though we would be those who labor and are heavy laden. Lord, I pray that Thou wilt now take this and do with it as Thou wilt. We pray, O Lord, that Thou wilt go with Thy people as they continue before Thee now in the course of this week. We pray that Thou wilt preserve them. We pray that Thou wilt protect them. We pray that Thou wilt meet with them. We pray that Thou wilt feed them as a shepherd does his flock. Undertake, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.